Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hail, cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. It's our final FPL preview. Brandon, the last game week of the season kicks off on Sunday, 11:30 our time, a slightly later start time for game week 38 this season. It's always been, you know, 10 o'clock for us, right? So 3 p.m. UK. As long as we've been tracking this, that is the time they've done 38. This year it's at 11:30 our time, so I guess it's 4:30. I feel like that goes right into the Sunday roast hour. For the English. So I don't know. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Oh God, I didn't expect to get incredibly hungry at the start of this podcast for my jacket potatoes and my roast beef and the lot. I feel like at the end of this season, once it's all said and done, and yes, this episode we've got work to do still. Sure. I deserve a big old Sunday roast. I would love to make that happen.
Yeah, and there will be some drama, I think, kind of no matter what happens with that, with the Leicester City match that'll take place probably on the day that you're listening to this podcast, late on Monday. There will be at least some relegation drama, which I feel like we haven't had that or too much of that recently. And so we're definitely going to have that. That point, the late point that Everton scored, really could make a difference. I was sort of looking through because it's you know, Leicester. I mean, Leeds seem like they're in massive trouble, but they still have a shot, and so it's really interesting what happens on the stretcher. And if Leicester can somehow beat Newcastle tomorrow, then it's really going to be wide open going into Sunday.
I would love to see that because it's sort of like everybody wins. Newcastle just have to get a point in their last two fixtures to secure Europe because of what's going on with Liverpool. So if Leicester do beat Newcastle, then I think everybody wins. Newcastle probably still end up with Champions League and Leicester can survive. My prediction, though, Josh, is that the table is in its final form moment in time. I think Leeds and Leicester are going down, and Everton with that. I mean, I wonder if that Yuri Mina goal doesn't even matter because I'm not sure Leeds or Leicester are going to get a single point for the rest of the season.
It does feel like Deitch may just have been enough, just him coming in, that, you know, has he done a good job? I don't even really know.
It would be easier than this, certainly.
Exactly. One win and five. I don't know. They've got a couple of draws in there, though, too. Maybe getting 5 from 15 is about all you could really hope for. So, anyway, there's something to play for. The top of the table, there is, I suppose you still have Champions League spots that are, in theory, still to play for, although that's going to be much more resolved based on what happens this week because we still have some midweek fixtures to go. But regardless, we got our game week 38 on Sunday. It's going to be fun. And I mean, this is a fantasy podcast, not a Premier League table podcast. Anyway, Brandon, so we there's plenty to play for most of the people listening to this podcast still. And I'm already sweating. I have not had a proper Sunday sweat. The way I'm going to right now. I mean, Callum Wilson has completely upended. And do you feel like, I mean, you know, the last couple of pods you were, you know, openly taunting Callum Wilson and talking about how weak he is, how he can't stay healthy. I feel like you kind of invited some of what happened with Callum Wilson this week. Care to comment, Brandon?
I heard that Kieran Trippier, who is, because he's the captain, he's in charge of what the team listens to in the locker room. Yeah. I have on authority.
Yep.
One of the bazillion writers they have at the Athletic wrote about this, that they have actually been playing on repeat my statement calling Callum Wilson soft in the Newcastle locker room. And wow, I think it's one incredible. Of those where, yeah, you know, they yeah. post the scathing review up on the company cork yeah. board, and everybody sees yeah. it as they walk by,
the,
and they're
the
like,
script from our podcast.
We'll show the cheaters for sure. So I do think that we kind of shot us, or I shot us in the foot by making those comments, calling Kellen Wilson yeah. soft. But more power
I should have, I should have brought him in at the very least. Once you said that, I should have known that you were speaking, you know, a miraculous
a reverse jinx. Into, yes.
Yeah, exactly. So game week. But, you know, what happened this weekend had some pretty serious fantasy repercussions because Arsenal lose at Forest. And I guess I was surprised in real time. The more I thought about it later, maybe I should have been less surprised because Forest basically... it was win and stay up, right? The stakes were gigantic for them. Arsenal yeah. really had nothing to play for outside of the thinnest glimmer of hope that they might win the title, which realistically, I think even they yeah. had to think was pretty much out of play, right? Down 7 against a Man City team that's in like the greatest form they've probably ever been in as a professional club, right?
When,
like they're playing so well right now.
When that final whistle blew in Forest Arsenal, the commentary was just hilarious because there was the exultation of Nottingham Forest survived their first season in forever in the Premier League.
Yep.
Then it was like, oh, and by the way, the actual biggest thing happened where Manchester City actually clinches the Premier League title. And yep. oh, by the way, you're seeing a lot of pictures of Sol and Arsenal fans on your TV screen right now. Arsenal, total dopes, or just kind of little dopes, unclear.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, name yeah. your narrative, you got it from that match.
That's true. I mean, you'd still would think they would have put up maybe a little more. They're just so banged up, I think, with yeah. Center backs, chaos, and I don't know, just
and then Arteta goes and kind of changes up the, maybe not the formation per se, but the way the personnel is lined up with Thomas yep. Partey at right back, and it seemed like, yeah, if they weren't uncomfortable with their general mental malaise, they were uncomfortable with the team setup too.
So you have that, and that wasn't hugely important for fantasy as a match in and of itself, because Arsenal, we've all pretty much, gotten rid of our Arsenal assets over the last few weeks. Certainly weren't necessarily even starting, even against a team like Forest. And so the real repercussion, though, was that it made Man City's match on Sunday irrelevant. And I have to say, I thought, even though the title was now won, I thought final home match of the season, Pep is still going to play that strong 11 so that they can kind of get out there and, I don't know, like the fans can cheer them on. Maybe you sub a bunch of people off early at halftime, sure. et cetera. Yeah. But to go out there and see that, I mean, obviously, like, their B team is like a Champions League level team. But mm-hmm. but to see the B team come out there and, it was pretty shocking, and it didn't necessarily hurt me that much because I'm not overloaded right now on Man City. I was actually kind of worried about this match. All I have is Stones and Haaland. And so it was arguably a good result for me, but it kind of just took the wind out of that match. I mean, it made that match just completely irrelevant. I didn't actually watch a second of it. It was like, what would I actually, that's not true. When Haaland came on like the 75th minute, I finally checked in for 15 minutes or so, but it was just sort of like, even then it was like, no one was, they weren't even really trying to score. It was just like, yeah, let's just get this thing over with.
Yeah, I watched the first half, and then I had to get in my car and drive back down to the city, so I missed the second half.
Yeah,
and I got mine with my Alvarez goal.
That's true. That's true. I guess it was relevant for the Alvarez punters, self included.
Yeah, and I guess it was the moment where all the Alvarez punters had to ask themselves, "Have I punted hard enough?" Because I think there are a lot of managers out there like me who brought in Alvarez, but only vice-captained him. I still captained Haaland. Now, yeah. I think, I would suspect strongly so that Haaland does start the midweek match against against Brighton. And my bold prediction, Josh, is that City actually demolish Brighton in this midweek match.
I don't know. I mean... Brighton are at home. I think that Brighton put up a bit of a fight in that one. I think that's a big match for them. Some of the pressure is now off as well. And that could manifest itself in them easing up on the gas pedal. But I don't know. I just don't see them doing that. And I think that, especially for this one, maybe they do it in game week 38. But I think for this, especially their way to Villa, I don't know. And I think they're still, I guess in theory, if they got destroyed in their final two matches, I think they actually could still end up in the Europa Conference League instead of the Europa League. So they still have like a tiny bit to play for. I think it's mostly a goal difference question, but still. So I don't know. I think it'll be an interesting match. And you're right. I mean, I think that we now see something closer to a strong 11 from Pep at midweek. But that now creates the problem of what do we see in game week 38 from Man City? Does Haaland start that match? Like it is genuinely, and I don't want to totally jump the gun on this week's pod. I mean, being a bit genuinely, Haaland is an amazing game week 38 captain because he's always an amazing captain. But he's also one of the riskiest captain picks you could have for 38. And I don't know. At the moment, my plan is not to captain Haaland, to be quite honest. My plan is to captain Mo Salah. But I could be persuaded back to Haaland. But I think it is risky. And also, they're away to Brentford, which is not, it's not like they're, if they were home to Spurs or whatever, I don't know. If they were home to some team that's like given up on the season. No offense to Spurs supporters. All offense meant to Spurs the team, Brandon, because they are. But it's like
we're looking at you, Oliver Skip. You're the guy.
It was the kind of man. Poor Ryan Mason, just like it keeps getting these no win jobs, but. If they were playing a team at home where you're like, well, Haaland could still come on in this, even if he didn't start, he might come on in the second half and score a couple of goals. He might still, kind of like Aguero, a couple of years ago when he played his final match for Man City. But I think as it is, Brentford's a tough place to play even when you're at full strength, right? You could argue that he wouldn't have been the best captain pick, even if we knew that he was starting in 38. And so now I think it's extra risky. And so what do you think Pep does in 38? What kind of squad do we see for that one?
Man, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know if it's a cop-out to say, but kind of a hybrid A team, B team, like we've seen in,
I think that's accurate,
we'll often see. And I think it kind of is a risk tolerance game, right? Because up to this weekend, all this talk was about City winning the treble. I remember watching an interview with Jack Grealish where he's like, yeah, well, it's the treble, but we actually haven't done anything yet. We haven't won a single of these three trophies you keep talking about. Now they've won one of them. Yep. The game week 38 is all about risk tolerance in terms of injuries to fitness concerned members of the squad. Kevin De Bruyne has been rested often because how beat red he often gets, I think, is the major concern that they have for KDB.
I know. We don't know what's going on with his blood pressure, but it's,
Certainly the Champions League final and the FA Cup final take precedence over game week 38. So that would be my one concern. But there, I think Haaland came to play. He's winning the trophies. He's already gotten the goal scoring record, but there are still records that he's very close to. It's almost like Arsenal, right? Like the disappointing thing for Arsenal is how close they were to winning this title. And if they were going to win a title in the next 5 years, this would have been the season to do it. And now it's slipped away. And Haaland,
I don't know that I 100% agree with that.
I would love to debate that. I think it's an interesting debate, and I will be,
make
cheering.
Yourself available. Yeah.
For that conversation. Please call me on WhatsApp if you want to chat about that. I'm pro Arsenal for better or worse. But I think Haaland has scored so many goals. It just feels like, why at this late stage in the season you just kind of give up on scoring more goals to see if you can push other records farther out. I think you know what I'm saying. But then again, This is also his moment to play in and score in a Champions League final, which would be the ultimate goal. So lots of spinning plates here for Pep and for City.
Yeah, and I think we probably do see some kind of hybrid thing too. I mean, just with the FA Cup final a week later, and then the Champions League the week after that, as you're saying, I think you could actually spin that even further, which is that if Man United win at midweek, they are solidly into the Champions League as well, and they suddenly have a sort of straightforward home match. They're hosting Fulham, who really have nothing to play for at this point outside of pride.
Well,
although
it
hasn't been stopping them from playing well.
I know this Fulham side is incredible. I will say, with Mitro being back and suddenly playing really well, I do wonder if this is a replay in Fulham's mind of the FA Cup quarterfinal, where Fulham just like totally owned themselves with their red cards, the Willian handball, etc. And if they just kind of want to, as you say, Josh, for pride, just do a match.
Yep.
But from the FPL side of it and the lineup side of it, it feels like Garnacho time. It is Garnacho or bust.
Yeah, exactly. And so we'll see what that means for. Especially there was some issue with, like, we thought maybe Shaw had something. Maybe he decided to go to the bathroom. I don't really know. There was like a moment there where it was like, is Shaw out this game? And I guess it was a nothing burger in the end. But I think that we're. I think it's going to be a really tricky week, and it always is. Game week 37 is always tricky as well. I think we tried to remind people of that on last week's podcast, because the final double game week of the season, and this is not a Queen's Passy one. This is one we typically have, is 37, and it tends to be a little bit of a bust, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of points and in terms of maybe predictable results. And so we've certainly seen that so far. We'll see what happens over the next handful of matches. But it has it's been a weird one. I guess I'm on 30 points, right? So, you know, I guess I'm seven above the average on 30 points. But I feel like I'm sort of. Some of the air is getting let out of the balloon the last few match days, starting with Wilson's late goal and assist in that Thursday match last week, and then kind of a whatever weekend. And so I've gone from 3K to 9K, which, again, great. Austin to still be in the top 10K, but, you know, I have tripled my rank going into final game week of the season. And based on the team that I've got over the next couple of days, I could certainly be out of the top 10K by the time the weekend rolls around. And so we'll see what happens. I have Isak tomorrow, but I don't have Trippier starting. So I think that's kind of the big one right there. And then I don't have Wilson either. And given how he's looked so far and his shockingly high ownership, how is everyone fitting? Like, who got sold to make way for, it's like, I don't quite understand. I had like no way to get Wilson. It was like, there was no way in my team structure I could have made that happen. So it's a,
I guess it is. Yeah. So you have Solanke, and you got Solanke out of a wild card. Basically, we're all dealing with front lines that are residue of our second wild card. And I had Tony and Watkins, and so everybody in that 7 million range was fair game, and I think that's a lot how a lot of people got to Callum Wilson, is they didn't invest as much in the midfield as you did, obviously.
Example number 18 million, why having an unbalanced forward line with a really cheap third forward creates problems. It's always so appealing, because you're like, oh, like, I could, it's so great. I can have five across the middle, and then it's great.
Here's an example of why it would be great to have a non-playing third forward. I could have Haaland, and I could have Harry Kane, who this weekend surpassed his greatest FPL season total in his history with 247 points, with Leeds still to go. He's 20 points away from Haaland. I will eat every hat that people mail me if Harry Kane surpasses Holland.
Can you imagine? That would be so amazing. That would be the craziest. That'd be low key one of the most shocking things in FPL history. Yeah, now I'm kind of, well, even though it would destroy my overall rank, I'm sort of because he's even Let that highly burn. Owned. Not because he's that highly owned, but just the 12% would all jump 100,000 spots if he got like 22 points. All right. Well, that's let's see what happens. We'll see if Holland starts at midweek. I mean, who knows, right? I mean, I'm sort of almost doesn't matter because he's so heavily owned. I mean, I was looking through all my various mini leagues, and it's just Holland straight down. I think we'll see what he does in the second match, but there might be a lesson there for some of us down the stretch here, which is, you know, maybe it's time for us to be a little bit more bold with some of our yeah. captain picks. But that's like game week or FPL season wrap up conversation that we can have. All right, so three matches still to come this game week. Newcastle host Leicester, Brighton host Man City on Wednesday, and then Thursday, Man United Chelsea, which I don't know. That feels like another 1-0 match. Chelsea, I mean, it's just like it's crazy, like that Chelsea and Spurs are both in just get us to the summer. Please, just let us get to the summer, and we can reset things a little bit. So. We'll see what happens there. And then the Sunday, mentioned it's game week 38. It starts at 11:30 Eastern time. And we're meeting up at the Black Horse Brooklyn, 5th Avenue and 16th Street in Park Slope / South Park Slope, I suppose, off the R train. You can walk through from the F or the G. It's a great bar. Come meet us down there. We'll probably try to get there on the early side in order to claim some spots, but it's a great experience. Highly recommend. If you don't live in the New York area, I recommend getting out with your friends and doing it, because it's, if you can get somewhere where there's, even if you're not a drinker, you know, just go have your full English breakfast somewhere, you know, and just sit down and watch it. Cause it's such a great, the stimulus, it's just incredible. It's so fun to have all these matches on.
I feel like my championship Sundays would be better if I wasn't a drinker, because then I wouldn't be like fast asleep in my bed by 3 in the afternoon.
That's true. It's always a hard pod for us. The final pod of the season. We're always like 9 deep, in alcohol, but anyway, so that's game week 38. We'll obviously talk more about that after the break. I did want to do a quick shout out, Brandon, to FPL Merch, who's a longtime supporter of the podcast and a producer patron, in fact. So if you listen all the way through the end, you've heard his name many times before. But his name is Ross. He has a great selection of FPL gift shop resources. So if you're looking to give something to the winner of one of your mini leagues, or something for yourself, or just something to, you know, commemorate the season, it's kind of fun. He's got a lot of really cool stuff in there. And his newest thing is got a new set of FPL poker chips, which are really cool. And so they got like 5K, 10K. And so it's sort of, you can use them as regular chips, but then it's sort of a, you know, so your friends who don't know if play fantasy can still use these chips, Brandon. But for people who do, it's a fun little flourish. And so I think we should get some for ourselves. I think we should.
Just play a lot of poker. Just like carry your top 1K poker chip in your pocket wherever you go as a reminder of the good times.
That's true. I've got some Ross mugs. I've got a merch mug and a merch glass. Anyway, I did want to quickly shout him out, though, at the end of this season. So you can go to fplmerch.com to support him. All right, Brendan, let's take a break. And if you want to support the cheaters, support everybody, Brendan. Everyone deserves support.
Everyone gets their share.
Facet of their life. But you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support the podcast. If you won your mini league and the podcast was at all helpful, then you can go and support us there. June is going to be a free month for all our supporters, because there's no matches done during that month. So we will not be charging our Patreon supporters that month. We'll do a more drilled down preview pod on Thursday after all of these matches have been completed. So that'll be a Patreon exclusive pod that we'll do on Thursday evening. Brendan, let's take a break, get back, and talk about game week 38.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
All right, Brian, we're back. Game week 38. I think I've mentioned how many times it kicks off. A million times already, but I'll say it once again because it threw me off to see this 11:30 start time. I guess that, so that means we'll get a fairly late deadline, 10 a.m. deadline. There's a lot of deadline talk this week because there's more, you know, the leaks are not stopping. And so
what was that Steven Spielberg movie where they had to break the news, Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep? I forget what news they were breaking, but they were doing something on a newspaper. Oh, it was the Pentagon Papers, right?
Yeah. Was that? Yes. Was that Scorsese? Is that
no? That was Spielberg. Spielberg. Anyway.
Yeah. The Post. Is that what it was?
It was the Post. Yeah. Exactly. Thanks for saving that bit there, Josh. This podcast is basically like watching the Post because they're always talking about, we gotta get this for the deadline.
Yeah. I have not seen that movie. I'm sort of like not like a big in the like. Although I like Shattered Glass. But in general, like movies about journalism, I'm not like not super enamored, Brandon. So anyway, that's Josh's film corner there. But do watch Shattered Glass, the one good Hayden Christensen movie. And yes, I'm including all of the prequels
Don't like Life as a House starring him and Kevin Kline?
Never seen it. Is that good? I actually know somebody who loves that movie. I mean, this is like a girl from college, but she thought Life was... So maybe she doesn't still feel this way, but she thought Life as a House was like the greatest movie ever made. I've never seen it.
Everybody watch it and let us know.
Yeah, we'll do some movie reviews in the off season. So Game Week 38 kicks off. I wanted to start things off by talking about our thought process, what you and I are sort of... What we're thinking about, right? So what are we thinking? Like, what are our yeah, but basically, like, what are our thoughts going into this weekend? What are we weighing, and what might we do in terms of transfers? Now, of course, we still have a couple of matches to go. We could get some injuries. Some things could change our approach here. But, you know, just kick things off here, Brandon. What are you thinking about going into Game Week 38?
I'm thinking about home teams, for one, and I'm thinking about terrible defenses. Like column A is who's playing at home, column B is who are terrible defenses. Okay. Less who has something to play for, because as I think we covered at the start of the podcast, is it's going to be perhaps a dead rubber apart from Leeds, Leicester, and Everton going into the final game week. Interestingly enough, Everton, Leeds, and Leicester all play at home. Everton seems to be the pick because they seem like the favored team to survive the drop, and they're playing against a beached Bournemouth. I think that's interesting.
Like a beached whale. It's
very much so. Yeah, just a bunch of cherries just washed up ashore.
A beached whale can explode, Brandon. So they could still, Bournemouth could still explode and blow up Everton like a humpback.
Who watches The Boys would be thinking of a particular scene right now. Mm-hmm. But Spurs, I think, if you take everything that I just kind of Mercury walked my way through.
Yep.
Leeds have to score goals in game week 38. They will have to push their guys forward to do so. And I think Spurs, as terrible as they have been in recent months, I just think they're going to rain goals upon poor old Joel Robles. I think Harry Kane is the guy going into game week 38.
Could you get there?
I'd have to sell Mo or Holland. Mm-hmm. That's the only way I could do it without just tearing up my team for a minus eight. And that does not seem advisable because it just doesn't sound fun to me.
But although Holland for Kane is the kind of ultimate game theory move, right? I mean, it's sort of it's either going to, it really could work out great, because even if Holland isn't going to be universally captained this game week the way he would in other weeks, he is certainly going to be highly owned. And his ownership prevents most people from bringing in Kane. So if you just gamble that Holland doesn't start, doesn't score, doesn't whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And then you bring in Kane. And I'm kind of inclined to agree with you there. In my position, it's too risky because I'm leading in a couple of these mini leagues, and there's no upside, to take that kind of gamble. But I think that for a certain kind of manager who's got the stomach for it, right? Yeah. It could really be a big swing.
Yeah, very much so. So I think we can touch upon some of these individual fixtures as we work our way through the questions. But there is one particularly FPL-relevant fixture I would point out, which is Aston Villa hosting Brighton. And my concern here is this is a big European playoff, basically. And Villa are trying to get into the Conference League. They're playing at home. They're in pretty good form. And I think it's going to be a very tough match for us who are, most of us listening are tripled up on Brighton. And I'm not seeing a very high ceiling then for three players I already have in my fantasy squad. So I'm kind of thinking if there's any way to move on a Brighton player for somebody with more upside, that's another thing I'm thinking about.
I think Eze is the one who everyone's really thinking a lot about. I mean, I think that this is one of those. Well, it's actually interesting. Okay, because on the one hand, I was about to say it's one of those things that we'll talk about on podcasts, maybe we'll talk about on Twitter, but then his ownership will only get up to 8% overall. But he might be universally owned in the top eight spots in your mini leagues, right? So it's kind of interesting the way, but I think he makes a lot of sense. He has attacking returns in. He just got an assist this last week, but he's, he had a brace before that. And he's had some, I think he's had three double digit return, he scored more than 10 points, I think, three different times over the last maybe 10 or so game weeks. And he's only 5.6 million. So he slots in incredibly easily, right? You could move either a Matoma or a McAllister to him without too much trouble. So I guess it's just two, 16 points in game week 36, 16 and 31, 9 and 34. So I'm going to round up, Brent. If you average those three together, that's three right there. So if you cheat a little bit, you're right there.
Yeah. So, I love him. He is one of my current favorite players to watch in the Premier League.
One of Brandon's faves.
Yeah, he's going to get my boy status sooner rather than later, but he's priced at 5.6. That's not Buddy is, but it's
I like to reserve the my boys for the players you don't actually like. If you like them, it's no fun for me to call them your boy.
All right, so then he is not getting my boy status because I genuinely do love watching him play. So he slots in seamlessly for any Brighton asset with that price tag of 5.6. Yeah. I think another key decision then is, are you looking to take hits? And if you are not looking to take hits, are you going to spend your transfer in your midfield or in your forward line? Because I just think we all have too many defenders and too many goalkeepers as it is. I'm not interested in spending any transfers there. So it's like, do you want to take a punt and try to find a high ceiling player in your midfield or your forward line? So I guess that I'm kind of interested to see how Isak looks in midweek. For that reason, because if Isak just continues to drag my rank down, then maybe that's where I want to spend my one free transfer.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't really know what. It's hard to talk about that Newcastle team until we see what kind of happens in tomorrow's match. But I think I think that. Right now I'm not starting Isak, and I guess given what we've seen from Chelsea, I would have no problem starting him in that match. He's on my bench right now. Actually, looking at my own squad, there's sort of two ways to look at it, right? There's sort of what you just said, which is I'm not really looking at the defense, and that's. Mm-hmm. But in my particular spot, it's actually a little bit tricky because I have Trent, and then I have Lindelof, right? Because I could not get to Shaw without burning points. I actually think I got away okay. Shaw outscored Lindelof by three, but I think all things considered, given that he was a million cheaper, I feel like that could have gone worse. And so I'll take the six. You know, he actually was on for bonus, and then he dropped right at the end there. But
he looked good. He played well.
It's fine. I thought he played well too, and so he should be fine. And then I've got Trent, of course, who I'm sure will start. But then I've got Stones, who is like, what, 50-50 to start that match at best?
And ever gotten a City defender and not been in this situation? This happened with me and Akanji a couple of months ago, and he just stopped playing.
And then it looked like Akanji might be the one who got away with it, and then he gets subbed in the 57th minute today. It's just so classic. Kyle Walker ended up being the defender we all wanted. Who knew? The Kyle no goals, no assists Walker was the one. Mm-hmm. But if Stones doesn't play, then I'm subbing either Botman or Henry as my those moves are make me a little bit anxious, and I worry or I get 1 point from Stones because they'll come on for 30 minutes, and so I may really keep it down to the wire in terms of what I do with my squad. But I think that it's, I also would not necessarily mind burning points this week. If I could find some moves that made sense, I might consider it. And but I think what I initially thought, you know, going into game week 37, and I was sort of trying to plan out the next couple of weeks worth of transfers, I thought I might bring Gabriel back. Brazilian center back Gabriel. Mm-hmm. But now I'm so worried about Arsenal, Brandon. And this sort of ties into a question that I had, which I guess I'll just pull up because it is relative to my thought process here, which is, we already talked about Man City too, which is Man City and Arsenal. Do we trust either squad going into this weekend? Are there any other strong avoids that we see among the clubs playing this weekend? And so my worry is just, do I want to have an Arsenal defender? I mean, Wolves are one of the you know, one of the teams that struggle the most to score, certainly. But
Josh, I will Arsenal, all but promise you, I will all but promise you Daniel Podence scores against Arsenal this weekend.
I know. It's just not, it does not seem like a very fun move to me. And so I'm probably going to go, if Brighton rest either Mitoma or McAllister at midweek, which is possible, but one of them starts. I would probably transfer out the one who starts. Like that, I don't know how else to decide between those two, because Mitoma is the more dangerous player, the one that I prefer to keep. Mm-hmm. But he's also in like really, his form is kind of all over the place. I don't know. I mean, I guess you want him to be getting all these chances. It's just, it would be nice if he actually did something with them. That would be awesome. Like if you were actually, you know, occasionally.
Oh, truly.
Scoring. He's had,
he spurned quite a few against Southampton, which was really frustrating. And then he had that nice move where he got central and kind of dinked it over McCarthy and hit the post. I couldn't believe my eyes that didn't go in. So he seems, he's not like a full on shadow of former self mode.
No, he definitely not. I mean, he created that really beautiful goal for Ferguson scored. Ferguson's, and that, you know, that was, you know, great move that he put on the defender. And then he sent in a great cross too. So I think we sort of see this as adults and like Matoma's, I think he's 26, right? Like, but we see it as like, whatever we are, you know, early middle-aged people, you know, it's like we like see the stakes of it so clearly. And I think for these 26-year-olds who are professionals, they can just shake it off and it'll be fine. And so I don't think Mitoma, we know that these guys, there is like such a thing as goal scoring form. I don't know how that's sort of quantified by a stat bomb type company, but it does seem like once you start scoring goals, it does seem like it gives you the confidence to continue to do that. And then when your confidence is low, it does seem like maybe you press a little bit and aim, right? As opposed to just sort of doing the thing you can always do, right? It's like on the practice ground. Does he ever hit the post in the practice ground in that situation, right?
Probably, when it's the competition is to hit the post, then he probably does all the time.
Yeah, exactly. But like in a situation like that, if you're in the training ground, he just gets that ball there. I feel like that's a goal every time. And it's just, you know, but when you're in the middle of a match and you kind of know that you've gone 10 matches without scoring, it's like, are you aiming a little bit more? And that maybe throws things off a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah, you pull the joystick a little too much there. That's why StatsBomb introduced pressures into
there. That's some adult conversation there.
Let's skip that. All right. So that we've talked about kind of our logic as we're approaching our team, sort of highs and lows. What about the next question here would be on captains to consider. What more needs to be said here? We kind of like talked about how Kane feels like he's probably the points predicted leader going into this game week, guaranteed to start play. It could weirdly be his final performance in a Spurs kit.
I think that's true. Although most of us won't have Kane, right? Realistically. Sure. I think that the captaincy decision is a decision that you have to make based on your table position in the mini league that you care the most about, right? So if you are in first, I suspect that the captaincy, if you have a team that's kind of normalish, right? Similar, you know, a lot of similar squads in the top 10K, et cetera. I think that it's probably Mo Salah. I think Mo Salah is probably the safest. I cannot imagine Mo Salah not starting that game. Mo Salah always starts, always plays huge minutes. Liverpool probably won't have anything to play for. I guess maybe they'll be playing to make sure that they stay in the Europa League. I mean, I'm sort of looking at the table right now.
Yeah, I guess if Brighton magically beats Man City in midweek, then they would be 2 points behind Liverpool. Assume Brighton lose to City. Liverpool, regardless, yeah. I think this is a matter of do they have to do the play-in into the Europa League or not?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess if Leicester City were to pull off a miracle win over Newcastle, then that would be a big one as well, right? Because then Liverpool could still possibly get a Champions League spot as well.
Sure.
I mean, I guess it's the same thing with Man United and Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea could beat Man United. I mean, they have so much talent. I don't know. It's like, it's not that I think they figured it out, but it's like you put a bunch of talent. I mean, they almost scored a couple times today, right? They almost equalized in the last minute of that match. Like, a team as talented as Chelsea can never be totally dismissed in a match like that. So we'll see. We'll see what we get out of that Man United match. My prediction right now is that I think that could end up being a... Who even knows? I mean, it's really hard to predict any Chelsea matches right now, but I think that could end up being competitive. Just like, I wonder if some like pride kicks in down the
street. I'd love to see it for sure. I live for competitive matches, Josh.
Yeah. So, all right. So I think if you're, I do think that Salah is now a safer captain pick than Haaland going into 38. We talked about this at the top of the podcast, but even if we get a rock solid lineup leak that Haaland is starting for 38, I still think I'm going to stick with Mo. That's how worried I am about the mentality that Man City will have going into this match when the only thing that can happen in a tough away environment in Brentford is that somebody gets injured, right? Like there's no upside to playing Haaland 90 minutes in that match ahead of the FA Cup final the next week and the Champions League final the week after. This is not like a season where they're just kind of out of everything and it doesn't matter. You might as well just play your best guys and send them out with a bang. Mm-hmm. It's like, there's everything to play for still. And they've already won the title. So, I think that kind of makes all the players suspect on Man City. It's not that I think Haaland is an absolutely crazy, would never consider him captain. I just think that there's a lot of risk there, whereas Mo Salah is just not. Liverpool, this is it for them. This is their final game no matter what. And, I think I think he will kind of do exactly what I just said Man City have done in previous seasons, right? We just pull out your strongest squad and go out with a bang and hope you nice 4-0 win to wrap up the season, and everybody goes away with a smile on their face, heading into summer. And so I think the other match, you've got Man United and Fulham, a slightly trickier one to talk about right now, again, because Marcus Rashford has been creating chaos up and down with what's happening with him. I mean, he's got the injury. It sounded very severe. And then he's back in practice. And then Friday morning, he's sick. And then he's not spotted on the team bus. But then it leaks that he traveled separately. The old traveled separately, which always makes me just like, it's what he like hopped in his car and just drove down to, to Bournemouth. Like, how far is that from Manchester? It's like 6 hours. Like,
it's just so Ted Lasso to me, where he shows up and the team bus is just in the horizon. And he's like, shoot, I missed it. Better hop in my car.
I know. It's like, it didn't make any sense. And so it was just, and of course I didn't drop Rashford. I mean, partially the reason I didn't drop him is because his ownership was high. I thought there was a good chance he'd start the Chelsea match, even if he was sick. And then I really wanted to have him for 38. And so it was like, well, even if I didn't think it was likely he started tomorrow, but burning a transfer and then being kind of panicked all week about what he might do in 38 was too. So if he comes out and plays in the Chelsea match, plays well, and they look, I don't know, like, you know, and they have the FA Cup final the next week, but they obviously still have, well, they may have Champions League to worry about. They may not. But either way, it almost feels like for them, I don't know that like putting out a really weak squad at home at Old Trafford in game week 38, if they lost or they drew, I don't think that's the kind of mentality that they're going to want to create ahead of that FA Cup final. I don't think Pep's is worried about that. Like, I just kind of doubt that his team is really super fussed about what happens in that Brentford match. Whereas I feel like if Man United lost like 2-1 at home to Fulham, that is like a really bad vibe for them. Whereas, you know, you lose away to Brentford, playing your B squad, no one remembers it like a minute after that game is done, right? It's just not relevant. What do you think about that? You agree?
Well, yeah, I do agree. The stakes are that much higher. And I think from a fan base point of view, Ten Hag he's still like on a mission. He still has things to prove in the first season. And it's a tough fan base. You want to go out of the season on a high note. Granted, they could do that in the FA Cup final. But Rashford is, I think, a very interesting FPL player if he's still a doubt heading into game week 38. I would be very tempted to move him, you know, like into a Liverpool player.
Yeah,
somebody like that. Yeah, I mean, Liverpool, yet another team. We can sort of like scratch our chins about what the starting 11 is going to look like away Southampton. But you would think it would be probably some of the younger players, maybe Jota, in, if you're looking to fill a forward spot, or Gakpo, because yeah. Firmino and all the old dudes got their big party this weekend.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, that's true. Firmino got the really nice goal too, and yeah, they almost pulled it off. I feel like Milner like sent in like a nice cross, and would have been like, oh, like how cool would have been if Milner had also finished yes. things off. But yeah, I'm gonna miss those guys. Firmino hasn't been at his best the last couple of years, but he's such a great player.
You can tell he is just emblematic of everything that Liverpool have achieved in yeah. some weird way, even more than Salah. I mean, that's probably a stupid thing to say, but
there's like, yeah, but there's something about his like unselfishness, right? It's like, yeah. it's like he feels like he's more of like the Klopp. It's like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like that team, when Firmino was at his best, that was like kind of when the team yes. was at their best.
That's right.
As well.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And so it's sad to see him go. And I actually think Gakpo is really exciting. And I think that he has some of those qualities that, that you could see in Firmino. He also just like, he plays with a little bit of, I don't know. It's like, I feel like I'm about to say something that's kind of contradictory, but it's like he plays with a little bit of fire, but he's also kind of in control. You know, it's like, it feels like he really kind of knows what he's doing out there on the pitch. So I think he's fun. I think he could be a really good fantasy asset next year too. I'm not sure what his price is going to be. I think you have to price him about the same as this year in that 8.5 range. And so I think he could be a really interesting asset going into next season.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Any predictions as to what Darwin Nunez price tag will be next season?
8. That's my guess. 8. I feel like 8 is the classic. That is just like a price tag you stick on somebody when you don't like, when they're like at too big of a squad to go lower than that, right? Like, yeah. you can't make him 7.5, right? But you can't make him 9 again, can you? I mean, he's not even a starter anymore. It's like,
yeah, it's a weird one. I think 8 feels right. Started at 9, dropped to 8.6.
Yeah.
Drop him down to 8, make him prove something. Otherwise, exactly. 6.5.
They'll probably make it 8.5 because it's always 0.5 higher than I want it to be. I like that move. I think that makes sense. If there's any doubt, I don't think that move makes sense. But you know, I think that Bruno is, again, he's kind of this like sleeping giant fantasy asset, right? Because he's creating chances. It's like every goalkeeper's best save every weekend is on a Bruno shot. It's like this crazy, you know. But he's shooting so much, and it's like eventually. It's going to come to pass. And so if you're looking for, so again, we're kind of looking at all these different lenses, right? If you're top of your mini league, I think that Salah is the safest pick with a lot of upside. If you're second or third, I probably wouldn't go Salah because I think the manager at the top will go with Salah. Right. And so if, you know, but the captaincy is the quickest way to make up those points. Right. Yeah. Or if you're just going to captain
efficient.
The most efficient way, that's exactly right. Things can break right for you in other spots in your team, but it's just, It requires a little bit more. Whereas if you can nail a differential captaincy, that is a way for you to make up that ground. So I think Bruno has the potential to have like a hat trick. Bruno could absolutely have a hat trick, right? Scores a pen, ball falls to him on a couple of spots, right? Like loose ball off a corner kick, whatever. Like all these different ways, Bruno just shoots, right? And so that's the kind of player you want if you're going to take a punt in 38 is for captaincy. Is you want a player who shoots a lot, right?
Yes.
And so I think that makes him appealing. I think looking throughout the rest of, I think Arsenal, I had a moment there where I thought it'd be fun to bring in Gabriel Jesus, and now I think I'm scared of that entire Arsenal team. I don't think I want anybody from any spot in that squad.
Yeah, we talked about them a little bit on our Thursday Patreon pod before the Game Week 37 deadline, and my general feeling is Arsenal will be fine. They're grown-ups, they're professionals, and they really did look down and out on their luck against Nottingham Forest.
They did. And now, I think it's a home match.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. do you get, you know, are they kind of up for that? Like, maybe a little bit. Maybe Trossard is a... I mean, Sokka to me is... In some ways, he's like the stat favorite, but he's not really... I don't know. Right? What do you think about Sokka?
He is among the most off-the-boil players in the league right now. I mean, he scored a goal against Southampton in match week 32, and he's done pretty much bupkis beyond that the last couple of months. And he doesn't look terribly thrilled to be on the ball whenever he's on the ball recently. This is sort of like emblematic of what's kind of gone wrong with Arsenal, is they've just ran out of gas. So, no, I don't know. Okay, so just to put a positive spin on that, I would say if you're going for a midfield punt, one who, like Bruno or Sokka, is on penalty duty, this is good. This is A+. You can consider Sokka for a captaincy, I guess, just based on that. But it doesn't seem like many penalties are being given to Arsenal these days.
Yeah, that is true. It just feel like it's been a while since Sokka missed that pen. That was when it all started. That was like, I mean, because they ended up drawing that match, right? And then they, geez. Okay, I don't want to unwind that clock, Brandon.
I just kind of feel like Wolves is the worst opponent for Arsenal to have, because Lopetegui seems like a, I don't know the man, you'll be surprised to hear personally. Sure. He strikes me as a spiteful person. he just looks like he'd be you know what, we're gonna go piss in the cornflakes, rain on the parade, et cetera. There is no parade happening in North London, but I just feel like it's gonna be a tough match based on the opposition on top of everything else that Arsenal are dealing with. The home support, maybe that pushes things over the edge in favor of Arsenal.
I think it does, and maybe that is the one issue with the Liverpool captaincy or a Man City captaincy, is they are away, and so maybe that elevates the Man United captaincy prospects a little bit. It also makes Eze a popular. I think he makes a lot of sense as a transfer this game week, and he is not an insane captaincy pick either. And I know that seems like a lot, but Forrest got the job done. Like, you know, this is, again, probably like better to save this for like a later pod, but I am actually excited that their approach was validated, because it is always fun when someone tries something new, right? And their approach was, we are going to buy like 50 players, and we're just going to keep mixing and matching all of those players until we find a combination that clicks. And it actually worked. I cannot believe it actually worked.
It worked. It worked too, without mixing and matching managers. And what's interesting is this is the first season, God knows when, I think it's only happened 4 times in the Premier League era, that all 3 promoted teams have stayed up, and all 3 have stood by their managers, save Bournemouth, who didn't go out and hire some crusty old Brexiteer to try to shepherd them over the finish line with Gary O'Neill. So I just love all the stories with Fulham, Bournemouth, and Nottingham Forest. It bodes well.
Me too. I mean, I feel like I sort of liked watching all 3 of them play. I mean, I know we were kind of on Bournemouth about being on the beach on last week's podcast, but that's fine. I mean, they did all the hard work before that. You know, the fact that they were able to go into game week, the final 3 matches of the season, and have nothing to play for is a testament to how fun they were to watch at times. I think that's really fun. And so just looking up and down, though, we can talk more about transfers in a second. But just in terms of captaincy, I would not captain anyone on Arsenal. I think that match is too unpredictable. I'm with you there. Villa Brighton, I think that's going to be too competitive to be finding appealing captaincy options. We talked about Man City already. Chelsea, Newcastle, no thank you. I mean, I don't know. Actually, maybe Callum Wilson. I don't know. That's probably not a terrible pick, honestly. Yeah. If they were home, I'd be even more in favor of it. Talked about Eze, Everton, Bournemouth. I mean, Everton just can't score enough to make that worth considering.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talked about Kane. Wouldn't consider anyone else on Spurs. I mean, Son's just too hard to get to price-wise. No one really owns him. Leicester, West Ham, no. Man United, Fulham, we already talked about that. And then Liverpool, Southampton. So, all right. So I think we've hit the captaincy. We've talked a little bit about our team and strategy. I did want to talk a little bit about some punts, maybe some players that we haven't considered so far, Brandon. And
yeah.
We've covered a lot of these, I think, already. It's interesting to look at. I pulled up, and I'm happy to shout them out as I've done before. And it's a free plug, but I really enjoyed looking at FPL Review this season and looking through their data. And I think it's very clean and just sort of like easy to read. So recommend using that site next year or even going into game week 38 if you're looking for some advice. But they do have Salah at the top of their expected points table as well, which is interesting. And Saka is still at the top of all these charts, and I just feel like Saka is not cannot be trusted at the moment. And I think their home crowd will lift them up. I think Arsenal win that match, but it feels like they're going to win it the hard way. They're going to win it with like I don't even really know. Like Xhaka's now out. I was going to say Xhaka goal, but I think he's out for the season now. It'd be like a Trossard brace or something.
It's going to go one of two ways. Exactly as you said, win it the hard way. And mm-hmm. I realize everything I've been saying, I still feel that way. All otherwise, we'll be at the Black Horse. The Arsenal Wolves match is the one on the one TV that I don't have a good vantage point on.
Right,
and what I'm getting through other people it's like 7-0 Arsenal. And all the guys that you've owned throughout the FPL season are scoring all those back. Points.
That's true. There's always a game like that. And that's true. Sometimes it is game week 38. Again, you just can't. He's just not worth the transfer is the problem.
No way.
And I mean, when you sort of think about slots, right, it's like, okay, who am I going to move around in my squad? And we talked about the Brighton players, and I like the idea of moving. I don't really want to be doubled up in a road match at Villa. They're too strong defensively, too solid defensively. So moving to Eze makes a lot of sense from a price point perspective. We can almost all of us get there pretty easily without having to burn a transfer. Up front, I could move from Isak to Jesus, and so that would be kind of exactly in line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you like officially won your bet now? Are you how are you looking? It's got to be close.
Yeah, so for those who have not been paying attention, I bet this guy Marlon at the start of the season that Gabriel Jesus would score more fantasy points than Darwin Nunez. Mm-hmm. Nunez is still out with a toe injury. Jesus with the yellow card only scores 1 point this weekend. He's ahead of Darwin by 13 points.
Okay.
I feel like I'm free and clear, especially if Darwin. I don't understand why Darwin would play.
Yeah.
But if Darwin is somehow like fit against Southampton, I'm gonna be quaking. It's gonna be very harrowing because I could see Liverpool just annihilating Southampton.
You know, I just had an interesting thought for my own squad here, Brandon. If you'll indulge me for a second.
Please, go on.
I'm curious, is there a -4 that I could take? I'm curious if I were to drop Isak and Bruno, and maybe I did already flag Bruno as a possible captaincy mm-hmm. option, just out of curiosity. Mm-hmm. If I went Bruno to Eze, could I get Harry Kane?
Let's see.
Ooh.
Kane on a -4 is almost like just do it now territory.
I know. That is really interesting. That is, oh my goodness. But then if I had Kane, would I captain him? That's the other question.
Absolutely. Against Leeds?
Old one goal Kane, you know? Yeah, I think that's interesting.
He's going to win the Golden Boot and surpass Erling Brood Holland in the last game week of the season. Everyone's talking about like title defenses, who's going to get relegated. The only thing that's being played for, and nobody even knows this, is the Golden mm-hmm. Boot. That's the only thing being played for in game week 38.
Well, how many goals Kane's got? How many does he have? He's got 28.
Okay.
And Holland has 36. So it would require him to score 8 goals.
Imagine if you captained him, that's going to look pretty good.
The thing is, Kane is, we know all these forwards are all number obsessed. He is two goals away from 30. It does seem to me like Harry Kane is the kind of guy who wants, in fact, and Harry Kane has never scored 30 goals in a season. So this would be the he scored 29 twice. So if he gets two goals in this match, he will surpass his previous and Leeds need to win that match.
Yeah.
So that is.
Yeah. They're going to be wide open. And imagine Harry Kane's idiot brother, who had him sign that like 20-year contract with Spurs, is probably licking his lips. If Kane gets to 30 goals, what that does for his transfer value.
Yeah, yeah, disgusting mental image.
I don't know that you could really change Kane's transfer value at this point. It is what it is, but
pretty solid one way or the other. But you know, it looked good on the resume. You know, I assume he's still faxing over one page resume of Harry Kane's.
Oh, Harry Kane is the chief editor of his own Wikipedia page. We know this.
Maybe his brother. Maybe he might outsource it to his brother. All right. So, is there anybody just looking through this long list? Anybody that we haven't covered? Ollie Watkins pops up kind of high on here.
I was just going to mention Ollie Watkins as the weirdo hipster pick, and I still believe in him. If he had not missed that penalty this weekend, I think we'd probably be thinking about him more seriously than unseriously. But again, as I say, I'm waiting the home teams in game week 38, as kind of been borne out through the whole season. Yep. And Villa are playing well. I think Brighton are just going to be exhausted from this campaign. So Watkins falls into the hold territory. If you have him, 100% play him with gusto.
I think that's right. I think hold is the right. I would play him for that match as well. I just Brighton. Yeah, they really should have conceded twice, honestly, today, and got a little lucky. So, I think I see some Everton players here. I wouldn't try. I'm like wary of any game where the stakes are too high, right? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, I suppose maybe you could put Leeds, Spurs in that category, but I just feel like Leeds can't stop conceding goals, and so it's hard to really, you know, even if you think they could win that match, they're not going to win it 1-0. Like, it'd be like a 4-3. Shootout or something like that. By the way, I had a thought about Patrick Bamford, who got subbed off today, that he has to be one of the most unlucky players of the last several years, not only because of the injuries, but because the one great season that he had in the Premier League was when there were no fans in the stands. And it's like he never even kind of got to be awesome in front of all the fans, right? It was like this, once all the fans came back, he's been perma injured basically from
there's some correlation there. He's got some performance anxiety.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but I mean, and he has been very injured, and so it's it feels like he still plays well when he plays, but it's just like he's never. Yeah. He did miss that pen, unfortunately. But
I hated that. Yeah, I mean, Bamford just seems like a nice boy, Josh.
And he does.
We don't want. I mean, what Bamford is dealing with isn't anything along the lines of what, say, like something Vinicius Jr. is dealing with. Granted, but still,
sure.
Leave our guys alone. Just let them ball.
I agree. Let them ball. As they say at the end of Bad News Bears, or I guess I say let them play. But yeah, same idea.
If they do a White Men Can't Jump ask reboot for the 21st century, they'll say let them ball at the end of the Bad News.
Exactly. Let them ball. I do like, we talked about him briefly, but I really like Gakpo as a transfer. I think that he will be starting up front in that match. I think Firmino got his moment, as you were saying before. And so I think Gakpo, I don't know. I guess I do have to caveat that you could see if Liverpool really don't have a lot to play for, maybe for sentimental reasons, they give Firmino a start in that match. So I guess that is the one.
Some risk.
Yeah, there is some risk. I have to. I feel contractually obligated to point that out.
Our lawyers are looking at us right now saying we need to say this. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. I think you and I are both in agreement that in general, a defensive transfer is not advisable. This game week, these do not tend to be low scoring game weeks. There are this is the week when everybody's shooting. Everybody's unless you're, you know, doing everything you can to avoid going down and it's like a goal difference question or whatever. In general, you are, these games are wild. And that, it's part of what makes Game Week 38 so fun. Yeah.
This is the game week where all the fans are, for some unknown reason, dressed as Smurfs. And they're just yelling at the center backs, shoot!
Yeah,
so really looking forward to it.
It should be pretty chaotic. I'm looking forward to it, too. So it's maybe we've covered it, Brandon. I mean, it's 1 week and it's hard for us to stretch this into our normal hour and 53 minutes. But that's where we are. We've got three more matches this week. Those matches will shake up our thinking. I guarantee it. So I have 0.2 million to of wiggle room on those transfers that we discussed. So I'll have a couple more days to think it through. But that could be fun. That might be fun. It just sort of, I want to see Bruno actually score a goal or do something like, it's like, let's see what he actually does on Thursday's match. So, that's where we are though. It's going to be a really fun weekend. It's the games are set up perfectly for a really swingy game week 38. I mean, you really couldn't have scripted it better because you have just a lot of unpredictability built into the matches that are taking place this coming weekend. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. And Brandon, any final thoughts?
I am also looking forward to it, Josh. I feel like grandma gave me a $20 bill to go to the store because I've got $1.6 million in the bank.
Ooh.
Let's chat more on our Patreon pod about how I can spend it. Can I get to Kane? I am 100% getting to Kane if I could do it with that kind of money. But yeah, I hope to see anybody in the New York area at the Black Horse. It's always fun to see people who have been listening all season just come and give us a high five and all that. But if we lose you after game week 38 in terms of you're taking the summer off, thank you for all your support through the season and for pressing download and pressing play. But yeah, Josh, we're going to come back next week for a real raw sort of like post-mortem on what – I think we learned a lot this season, honestly. This was like FPLX, and the X stood for extreme. With all the double game weeks and everything, there was a lot for us to learn, even as veteran managers.
I think that's right. I do feel like I've thought about how to play maybe more this year, I don't really know what I mean by that. I have been thinking about strategy as what is my approach? Like how can I tweak it, that I have in previous years. So, all right. Well, hopefully everyone, has a great midweek. And as you mentioned, Brandon, we'll do a Patreon pod on Thursday. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/alwayscheating, get access to that podcast. Thank you to our producers, Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, Chris Howell, Babas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Nick Wright, Lazarus Yanos, Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Brian Chin, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Andy Portluck, Dan Parsons, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jeff Turner, Buffalo Wild Mings, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Vulgar Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, Thomas Andre, Shalin Afkadakia, Terrence O'Donnell. What a great mix of names we have in our producer group.
And it's beautiful.
Even the real names, the mixed in with the fake names. A couple of these are also pseudonymous. Terrence O'Donnell, Paul Herzig, Heath Cram, Thomas Tisloff, Noah Louise, and Travis Grant. Thanks again, Travis. Did he get back to you with the t-shirt thing? I think he did, right?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he's wearing it right now as he's hitting the skip forward 15-second button.
Yeah. And so you can, now that we're at the end of the season, you often hear this, you probably don't pay any attention to it, but if you could review or rate the podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you listen to pods, that's really helpful. Helps more people find the podcast, especially as we go into the off season. We don't want to disappear from all of the search results. So you can follow us on Twitter @HailCheaters. I'm on Blue Sky now. Maybe I've got to create a Blue Sky always cheating account too. It doesn't feel like that's a place for hustling yet, Brandon. Maybe someday it will.
So, well, yeah, but we'll see. Earlier you started, you know, you look like a legit handle if it says you've been a member since such and such a date, right?
That's true. So maybe I'll do that. And I don't even have an invite yet. I'm debating whether I would give that to you or not. I feel like
you would. You give it to me or to the podcast? Is sort of like a scales of justice.
Maybe neither. I don't know. Yeah. The Instagram at Hail Cheaters. We posted some photos from the Black Horse, no doubt. Facebook.com/alwayscheating. Emails hailcheaters@gmail.com. And visit the website for all this and more, alwayscheating.com.
Excellent. Yeah. Good luck, Josh. I look forward to seeing you always in your insanely stressed out game week 38.
This one's
state of mind.
This one, I'm like 9 points ahead of like five people in a bunch of leagues. It's going to be very stressful. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right. We'll see you then.
All right. Sounds good. Bye.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing. But you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.